the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, March the 21st, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. The nation's acting defense secretary under investigation for promoting Boeing, his former employer. Also on our Thursday rundown, the Trump administration's spending blueprint being called a bully budget, plus a call for the feds to protect consumers from abusive lenders. Topping our news, the Defense Department's Inspector General said Wednesday it was investigating complaints that the acting Defense Secretary, Patrick Shanahan, had been promoting his former employer, the Boeing Company, and disparaging its military contract competitors. That from the New York Times. They report the investigation will examine complaints filed last week by a watchdog group, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. A spokesperson for the Inspector General's office said the investigation had informed Shanahan of the inquiry. The Times notes he told lawmakers last week he supported an investigation. Meantime, critics are calling the Trump administration's latest spending plan a bully budget. They say its kiss-up, kiss-down attitude is a built-in feature, not an accident. More on the story from our Dan Hyman.
In part to pay for tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy. The budget released last week cuts three-quarters of a trillion from Medicaid and nearly a quarter trillion from food assistance, both over a decade. Deborah Weinstein, with the Coalition on Human Needs, says its attitude towards the poor and powerless is seen in its complete elimination of the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, LIHEAP, which many, especially seniors, depend on.
They go without medicine because they know they could become ill or die if their heat falls. That's the kind of choice that this administration would force on people.
The administration says LIHEAP is no longer needed. President Donald Trump argues that cuts in safety net programs will push people into the workforce and tax cuts for the wealthy will create more jobs.
A president's budget is often treated as just a wish list when Congress starts deciding actual spending priorities, but the Trump administration has said it plans to implement some of the controversial parts of the plan, including work requirements, no matter what Congress decides. And in Massachusetts, there is higher ed advocacy today and a public hearing on Friday at the Joint Committee on Education about 17 education-related bills.
The Fund Our Future campaign, a coalition of education activists, students, and parents, supports the Promise and Cherish Acts. These bills are asking for $1.5 billion per year in additional education funding for pre-K through 12 and higher ed. The $1.5 billion amount is based on the recommendations of two state commissions in 2014 and 2015. Delia Fuentes is a student at Springfield Technical Community College. She says higher ed in Massachusetts needs more funding so students like her can afford to study and not have to work so hard to pay for it.
I'm a full-time student and I have three part-time jobs and it's ridiculously hard to stay at an A average. I just feel like it shouldn't have to be that hard.
Fuentes is urging state legislators to support the Cherish Act for higher ed and the Promise Act for pre-K through 12 because students need more funding to have affordable and quality education. On Friday, both the Promise Act and Governor Charlie Baker's Education Act will be heard, among others. The governor's bill recommends less funding for public education and dispersing the money over 7 years. I'm Laura Rosbrow-Tellum reporting.
Michiganders plan to come out and show their support for the right to clean drinking water. More on the story from Eric Tegadoff.
Friday marks the 26th annual World Water Day, highlighting the importance of clean drinking water across the globe. Shannon Abbott is head of the Grand Rapids Water Protectors and vice president of the Michigan Citizens for Water Conservation. She says a number of battles over water are going on across the state, including fights against chemical contamination and keeping water affordable. Abbott notes that low-income communities and people of color face the brunt of these battles.
Their voices, as many people as stay active and try to make their voices be heard, they're not taken seriously, unfortunately.
Abbott says people in Flint still are dealing with the crisis and that some people don't have clean water nearly 5 years later. Groups are holding an event at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History in Detroit on Friday starting at 4 p.m. Advocates for clean water rallied in Lansing on Wednesday.
And finally, Suzanne Potter reports Nevada's Attorney General Aaron Ford's calling on the Trump administration to allow Obama-era rules on payday lending to take effect.
Ford and 25 other state attorneys general sent a letter asking the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to stop delaying a rule that would force payday and title lenders to actually consider whether borrowers have the ability to pay back a loan. Sophia Romero with the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada applauds the efforts, saying low-income Nevadans are getting stuck in an unending cycle of debt with these ultra-high-interest revolving loans.
We see consumers who have been abused by payday and title lenders who are failing to follow current statutes on a regular basis. And we are happy that the AG's office is getting involved, as well as the state legislature.
On Wednesday, the legislature held a hearing on SB 201, a bill that would direct the state to set up a database to help enforce existing laws.
The CFPB's own statistics show that 90% of all loan fees come from consumers who borrow seven or more times in a year. I'm Mike Clifford, and you've been newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.